grass, ganja, joint, doobie, do, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
The good old Mary Jane. It's marijuana media time again. How are you, Chris?
Very good.
You're really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
You know, being just had some relaxing herbal medicines, and as you do, and
as
a lot of people do, and a good study out this week, just getting straight to it. How are you, by the way?
Yeah, all good. Interested. I'm interested in what's going on in the world of greenery.
Well, what this new study's found, or what the headline is saying, Science Alert, if you want to look it up, brain receptors for cannabis could be why some people are more resilient.
Resilient.
That's what we all want, right? These days of non-stop stress and attention-grabbing or sapping and mind-numbing crap we all have to put up with. So how do some people cope with it all and other people don't? Well, this was actually mice, but maybe people too, right? And so more studies needed. Well, this found University of Laval in Canada, mice with increased levels of the CB1, cannabinoid receptor type 1, that is your THC receptor, as opposed to your CBD1.
Yes.
The mice with the elevated levels had significantly fewer behaviours associated with anxiety or depression, even when they were subject to chronic social stress. Now,
how do you measure a rat's chronic social stress?
Firstly, they were mice.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
You don't want to know. Yeah, it's one of those things they do in labs.
Mm-hmm.
Usually what they do is they've specially bred these really dominant, aggressive ones.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other half of the box, the subject mouse gets to observe other mice being attacked and eaten and killed
that's
by the
scary.
Other one. And that puts them under some stress.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Okay.
But aside from that, so what they're theorizing, the neuroscientists, these CB1 receptors might have a protective role against what are, of course, two of the most common mental health disorders.
I'm not sure why the hell it's squeaking, but let's move on. Let's actually switch mics, see if the other one works better. There you go.
That
actually is a bit better.
That's it. Technical difficulties. We overcame it. And related to that, perhaps, maybe not, this was on a site called Futurism. If you blazed massive amounts of weed as a youth, scientists have some interesting news. And about, the long-held assumption or stereotype that it fries your brain, literally the eggs in the frying pan, here's your brain.
Yeah.
Used to justify the war on drugs and all its terrible negative effects over the years.
They love to do that.
Including, arresting people who shouldn't, particularly people of colour and all around the world.
Yeah.
But as they put it on this site, that argument might be going up in smoke.
It's happening again.
We got it again.
Continue.
Okay. So this was a Danish study, Brain and Behaviour. And bear with me, because again, limitations of the studies. It was only men. But that's because they were military conscripts, and that's just how they work over there. Well, they did at the times they're looking at, which was people born but in the sort of 50s and 60s. They did what's called the Borg-Prien-Prove test. And I'm sure that I've pronounced that right.
Sounds about right.
And everyone's IQ declines over the time. Yeah. It does.
That's
it just happens.
That happens anyway.
The people that consume cannabis as a young adult, as a teenager, even throughout their adult lives, had less IQ decline than the people who didn't.
Wow.
There you go.
Yes.
So yes, only men, but it is real world behaviour, and as that site pointed out, Futurism, there's about at least four or five other similar studies that have shown the same thing that did include women. So, including one from Australia, so there you go.
Well.
Yeah. What next? Speaking of evidence-based policies and things, because we just talked some cool evidence, over in Holland, Dutch government... This is in the NL Times. Dutch government presses ahead with cannabis experiment despite strong opposition. And, you know, first I thought, they're like, what's the experiment? Is it closing down more coffee shops? And the opposition is... Well, what it is the experiment, and this is despite the change of government, government is all very anti, but they're saying this is actually a good law. So 10 municipalities, including Maastricht and Tilburg and Groningen, they are doing a proper license system from seed all the way through, which Holland doesn't really have. It's actually just tolerated. It's their policy of tolerance. And tolerance means, okay, you're not going after people and you have certain rules that you go, okay, you do this and we won't go after you, particularly no hard drugs.
Yeah, people think that R18. It's legal over there, but it actually isn't. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's curious.
And it means things aren't tested and crime is involved at the back door, at the supply, where they have no option. Meanwhile, so what this trial in these 10 places is licensing the producers, licensing everything all the way through.
Wow.
And as I say, this is a conservative government that switched in that, and they're saying, no, we're going to continue with this because it's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the opposition, though, in the headline, is the coffee shops and the local municipalities who are saying illegal cannabis ain't good enough and people won't use it and you're not even ready and you can't supply the market and it's too expensive and all those other things that maybe sound familiar here. I thought that was kind of interesting. The opposition is not close them all down. The opposition is actually... let's actually continue some of the grey market activity, at least until all the legal stuff is sorted out.
That's crazy. Holland? You'd think there'd be a bit, I don't know, different, you know?
They've always been very pragmatic, I guess, and that's the source of that tolerance policy.
The engineers of the world.
But not having things tested or known, you go into the coffee shop and you don't actually know, well, what are they selling?
No.
They're just telling you what it is, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
There's been multiple times I've been there and I've been absolutely, smoked to smithereens in a way that I am traumatised. But it was awesome. Hey, shout out to them.
Maybe they'll be part of the new licensing system. It's a bit more host responsibility, you know, of like, oh, hey, okay, maybe you've had enough.
That's the thing.
It was a terrible Dutch accent, but yeah, but it could be. They had zero tolerance for cell phones when I was there. If anyone picked up their phone, they got thrown out.
Of the coffee shop?
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, they're kind of like that in the nightclubs, so that makes sense that they carry that on.
Yeah, just the phones. So that brings me to... and by the by, just before we leave Holland, former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte, he's been extradited to The Hague to stand under arrest by Interpol for his war on drugs.
His crimes.
Thousands of people killed in the Philippines,
yeah.
Dressed up as a war on drugs kind of cleansing. Absolutely, shocking. So that's great. He's off to The Hague and on trial. So, back home to New Zealand. Russell Brown and this week's listener, if you want to get yourself a copy or do the paywall. Northland Green Ferry arrest exposes a flawed system.
Oh, that's good that they're talking about it.
It certainly is. It's well worth a read.
Yeah.
And good old Russell Brown, he's actually, he recounts his experience giving testimony to the Health Select Committee when the medical cannabis law was being discussed and debated and submissions were happening. And he admitted some criminality in there by being somewhat of a green fairy himself, in that he sourced some cannabis oil and supplied it to a good friend who was in hospice and on his last days.
Wow.
And let him have some actual, you know, time with family and friends and things.
Wow.
And he wanted to say this to the committee, and they cautioned him, hey, are you sure you want to do this? And he did. And what he notes in there is the law that got passed doesn't protect people like him or Gandalf or anyone else. It's a very narrow exemption just for people undergoing palliation, but not the people that give it to them or supply it to them or administer it. So their caregivers, their family, let alone the green fairies.
What's palliation?
Palliation's like, when you're on your last days.
Okay.
And a doctor kind of certifies it and says, and then you've got some form of exemption, only for your own personal use, which does let people have it in the hospice.
Oh, that's good.
But as I say, it doesn't protect anyone who's giving it to him or to them. And Russell actually met Gandalf through that, and he writes in there about how well, the law that got passed gave this protection for some patients, and I guess, you know, created a very good system for getting a prescription, very easy to get for a patient to get a prescription. Mm. Very difficult to produce the cannabis to meet those rules, and yeah. very and almost impossible for the people in what's called the hidden economy, I guess, yeah. or the hidden market, who aren't able to afford all those licensing fees and set up GMP production facilities and all that kind of crap.
Yeah.
And so, you know, according to the old Massey Uni research, at least two-thirds of patients aren't legal. We're talking a couple of 100,000 people,
yeah.
you know, that aren't legal. And Gandalf and others like them were helping people. So he's next in court on the 29th of April up in Whangarei.
That's right.
Head on up there, or if you're in that area, you know, go there and show your support. It's not the actual trial, it's another hearing, but every hearing counts, makes a difference for his own morale and you know, for the people that are there as well. Petition as well is on parliament.nz. Petitioner Pearl Schomburg on behalf of Auckland Patients Group, extend the palliative exemption to all patients and their providers. So you can jump on there and sign it.
That's where palliation comes from, palliative. Is it the same thing? Yeah. Sorry, I'm making.
Yeah, it's kind of an obscure word. We're not
figuring
quite sure
things
they
out.
Used it. And in the, all this kind of thing, you know, Russell again, he points out in the article, it's the Misuse of Drugs Act 1975. It's 50 years. 50 years old, our drug laws. And, you know,
come on.
Quite a bit has changed in that time.
Fucking hell.
And it's a real patchwork load of crapola, the current law. Yeah, and, you know, throw it out and start again.
If only they would. Throw out the whole government and start again. That's what I say.
You're not wrong. It's always quite good in between elections when there's no government, I find. Newsroom today, speaking of effects of this kind of crappy medical law, halfway there, Rich Lister throws troubled Helios $1 million lifeline. Helios was thought to be kind of last one standing. All the other medical cannabis companies have fallen over or been liquidated and struck off the stock exchange, all that kind of thing. Rua's plugging along, but, you know, doesn't grow anything here, all that kind of thing.
Mm.
So their CEO, Karma Dormant, abruptly resigned yesterday. Well, I think Tuesday. And the owner, Guy Haddleton, stepped in with $1 million to keep him going, to provide the necessary time to review the business performance and strategy.
Wow.
And he's brought in a former Fletcher building distribution head, Bruce McEwen, to assist in that.
So it's all,
you know, I hope they survive because, you know, someone's got to. But it just shows, eh? Even when you're in a billionaire and by the newsroom's account, $48 million so far tipped into that company.
Jeez.
And if they're needing $1 million loan to keep going, then doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah,
it'd be great to hear from them, hear what's going on. He's saying he's going to take a couple of weeks to have some advice and things. Consider advice.
Fuck.
Speaking of advice, a little correction from last week. I advised the caller, the texter, slightly wrong.
Oh.
They said what we were talking about the drug driving law.
Yeah.
Right. And they said, what are the devices going to pick up? Is it cocaine? And I said, no, I think. I can't quite remember. Anyway, what it is, just to clarify, this is the little swabs they're going to be sticking in your mouth and swabbing around. THC or THC-like. Methamphetamine type substances, MDMA type substances, and cocaine and metabolites. All of those things, of course, have false positives. So your CBD or your medical prescription is going to fail your THC. Your Ritalin is going to fail your meth or your MDMA. And your lidocaine, if you're antihistamine or gone to the dentist, you know, you'll fail the cocaine. So
the dentist.
Be prepared for a few fails. And no opioids in there or benzos. No sleeping pills, none of that kind of thing.
These people are tapped and cracked. It's not looking good.
Yeah. The good thing is they promised in the Hansard and everything that as new technology becomes available, they're going to look at it and get better.
Okay.
So we've got to hold them to that.
We'll see.
Righto. Very good. So, well, that's me. Gandalf again, 29 April. Get your prescription at the shop, or at least give us a ring. We can sort you out. You can talk about drugs next down at the Alan Melville on 16th of April. Watch a movie, and they're also doing substance checking there.
Oh, awesome!
It's at noon to 3 p.m. That's your only thing. You got to like wag work
or
school
or whatever.
3-hour
window on your lunch break.
Yeah, get in there, Alan Melville, 16th April, and Harvest Fest. I've just become aware of it. It's 3rd of May, somewhere in Auckland. That's
Harvest
the limit of my knowledge. And J Day, meanwhile. 6th of December, all the way off there, but
Why is J-Day on the 6th of December?
It's the first Saturday in December now. That's the thing. And it's sunny, like now,
yeah.
As opposed to winter, like
when
May.
Yeah, right.
That's the main thing.
I see. Yeah. All right. Boom.
All right.
Thanks, Chris. That was awesome.
See you next week.
You're awesome. Shout-outs to the Hemp Store.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz. I'm in love with marijuana.